Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Today, our subject focuses on the first black female to head a medical college in America. The first. She also happens to be Dr. Barbara Ross Lee. And if the name Ross sounds familiar, it is because she is the sister of singer Diana Ross. We see many times that success comes in clusters, comes in families, but that does not mean that it cannot come in ones. Most of the time, it does come in ones, twos, if it ever gets that clumped up together, it makes a statement. Now, one of the things that I am going to do on today's program is I am going to run it a little bit different than what we have in the past, because I want to make a concerted effort to hear from you, our listeners. I appreciate many of you who call in, not call in, but listen to us on an internet connection. But you don't have to be an expert on the subject matter to call in, because I request that you call in with questions, that you call in with suggestions, that you call in with comments. I realize that everyone is not going to agree with me on all topics. And one of the reasons I'm doing that today is because I had an email earlier that advised me that everybody in America had the same opportunity. And to a large extent, that may be true. But it ignores the fact of so many facts associated with the life of blacks that it is insulting to me, at least. Some of you may agree with that person. And there's no problem with agreeing with someone. We can disagree. We don't have to be disagreeable about it. But I would urge you to call in. I'm going to open the microphones in about a little less than 15 minutes for the first time after we see how the conversation is going. If we do have enough people that want to engage in a conversation, and we'll return to our regular format. But as I look at this program, and I look at the start of my blog post, I was going to talk about nothing but successes in the black community. My fear at that time was that if we only focus on those people that have done well, that indeed the same concern that was raised today, that everybody had the opportunity, would surface. It has not been that way. We see government sanctions against it being that way. You say government sanctions? Yes, we had redlining, wherein government officials would draw a red line around black communities. And why was this significant? Because it said to banks and other institutions, do not loan money in these areas for people to buy houses. Don't loan money for people to maintain these houses. Don't loan money for people to improve these homes. And that goes a long way, folks, a long way. Because you could borrow more money from a banking institution to buy a car, which depreciates, than you could for a house, which appreciates. Many people have been able to go to school because they have been able to tap the increase in the value of their homes to send their children to school or to go to school themselves, to start businesses, to do other things, which by and large was not available to all blacks. Many of them were turned down flatly. Now, the number that you're going to be using for this is area code 646-668-8217. If you are listening to me on your device, I appreciate each and every one of you and ask that you share that information with others so that they can also hear the information that comes up. Sure enough, we give information on people such as Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, who most of us have never heard of, but who made significant achievements. And the reason for that is we want to inspire our youth, not just black youth, all youth. We're not so selfish that all we want to do is inspire black people. But we do want to let black people know that they are a part of the great society that has been produced here. In the past, we have talked about people such as Dr. James McCoon Smith, the first licensed doctor, black doctor, in the United States. And that's significant because no medical institution would accept him in America at the time that he sought to become a doctor. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. However you want to make it. Were there people that were qualified? Yes, he was. Now, when we see what happened, he could not be accepted. He was not accepted by any medical institution in this country. Fortunately, he was accepted by the University of Glasgow in Scotland. Fortunately, he could make it to Scotland. Most people couldn't make it, black or white, could not have made it there. He earned 3 degrees in Scotland, coming out at the head of his class in all three. He did his medical residency in Paris, so we know he knew at least two languages. Very talented man. Came back, he was the first licensed physician in the United States of America. But he had had to go to Europe to get training. This is not equal. This is not what we have seen. And it is not only in one occupation, but it happens in many occupations. I spoke a couple of weeks ago on Dr. Solomon Carter Fuller. Another name that we very seldom hear about. And what surprised me is Dr. Fuller went to the same college, Salisbury, North Carolina, Livingstone College, an HBCU, that I attended. We sometimes think that anything associated with black is associated with failure, and that is definitely not correct. But that's one of the hazards when we only look at successes, because many people have been blocked from success. When I attended college, there is a college in my hometown, Spartanburg, South Carolina, that was for men, Wofford College. But at that time, they did not. And I didn't know of another essentially white institution that would accept them. That would accept us. And so I went a different route, but HBCUs produce excellent students, excellent citizens as well. And I want you to be aware of that. That number that you can call to join this conversation is 646-668-8217. As we start to talk about Dr. Ross, Dr. Ross Lee, Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, we see that she was a good student in high school. When she wanted to go to college and major in medicine, she was discouraged. Why? Because of the color of her skin. We look at counselors. We look at other people to show people the path that they need to take. Some paths are more difficult than others. But because of Dr. Barbara Ross Lee's skin color, She was told that she shouldn't go into medicine. One, she was female. Two, she was black. And as we look at that, there should be questions that arise. Female. All females, or most females, were discouraged from going into medicine. We see Dr. Alexa Kennedy, another person that I spoke about. And I'm speaking about posts that are on AmazingBlackHistory.com. You can go on that site. There are well over 300 posts there, and you can look up a person by name. Kennedy, C-A-N-A-D-A, Kennedy. And find her story. She was the first black female pediatric neurosurgeon. Now, neurosurgeons work on the brain. They work on the nervous system. They work on very delicate systems. And when she declared that that's what she wanted to do, she too was discouraged. I realize that some of you listening to this program have faced similar circumstances. And that's what people don't realize. They say, well, you had the opportunity because one person did it. Yeah, when we look at Dr. Fuller, who was personally chosen by Dr. Alzheimer to continue his research, we look at Dr. Fuller and we see a man that was a fully qualified medical doctor, fully qualified. He was the first black psychiatrist in the United States of America. And as a medical doctor and studying the brain, he performed many autopsies. The information that he was aware of today that we are just hearing about was not new to him because he was studying it. He knew about the clumping in the brain and other things that were taking place. So why is it over 100 years later that we're still researching the problem? Because his work was not funded, N-O-T, not funded, because of the color of his skin. There are people of all races, colors, creeds, religions, genders that are suffering today. And it's not only the person that has the disease, but those people that care about them, love them, are sympathetic to them. Sometimes they're relatives, sometimes they're not. But it is a dredge. If you've had to watch a person go through the ravages of Alzheimer's, it is cruel. It is punishing. And like I said, not just for the patient, but for those that care for them. And there are different things that happen. So we are willing to hurt ourselves to keep from giving compliments to people that can do something about it. I'm going to give that number again. And I want you to write this down, put it in your phone, do whatever. Because as we come to you every Sunday with a different topic, we have a primary topic, and today that topic is Dr. Barbara Ross Lee, the first black female to head a medical institution in the United States of America. And yes, she is Diana Ross's sister, and we're going to go into that. But I cannot believe that we don't have people online now agree or disagree with the concept that everybody had the same opportunity. Everybody could have done it because everybody didn't. There were many qualified people that were turned around. We look at affirmative action today, and for centuries we have excluded black people from one of the most remarkable systems that we have in this country. That is our educational system. We had a system of laws that would punish you, make you a criminal if you taught a black person either slave or free, to read, write, or do numbers. In other words, do math. Basic requirements of a civilization to move forward. And what we see in that is a disparity that has remained to this day. I look back at my childhood. My community is no longer there because someone decided they needed this community. And there were women in my neighborhood. There were men, couples in the neighborhood as well, who had persisted all of their life to buy a house for themselves. And understand that you could not borrow money from a bank, a financial institution, to buy it, to maintain it, or to improve it. And yet they did that. Now, the prices in these communities was artificially low because of the fact that they could not borrow money to buy, improve, appreciate those homes. That is not fair. It is not equal. The number that you're going to be calling to discussing that and any other subject that's on your mind is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. Keep that number because next week, the week after that, we may come across a subject that is appealing to you. Many people would study Black history if they knew that such a thing existed. Many times all we want to focus on are athletes and musicians. And I am very thankful for them. I praise them. But we have done more than that. We have made significant contributions. And we're finding ourselves in a position now where people are saying there is absolutely no value in studying Black history. I would use a phrase that I don't want to use because hopefully we have younger listeners listening to this program. And I say that, and I encourage you to have them listen because I want those students, like any other students, to grow up knowing that they can. They can. Despite injustices in the past, we are able to persist, not to the extent that we have. But there are many activities that we persist in today that we have no idea that we can do because we haven't seen it. We've been told that everything we did was negative. We've been told that the only contributions we made were picking cotton, being slaves. And on that note, there are people who have no idea how cruel slavery was, how degrading it was, how anti-human it was. Yeah, there were dehumanizing things that took place from the beginning of America. And it's time that we talk about it. This is not a program where I only want to hear from people of color. I want to hear from everybody because all of us have opinions. And many of those opinions were formed in a cloud of ignorance, a cloud of ignorance. When you don't know who you come from, who you represent, who your ancestors are, you're lost. You don't have that system of nutrients. You don't have that network of people that can encourage you and will encourage you all along. There are many Blacks walking around and even listening to this program who have grown up with the idea that Black people can't do this, they can't do that. Who loses? Obviously the individual, but the entire country loses when we do this. Many of us are driving around listening to the program on their radio. Some of you not realizing that you can call in on your cell phone. Now, I'm going to do that in just a few minutes. If we don't have callers at that time, we'll proceed on with the program that we're currently doing. But I want to give you an opportunity to express your views, your questions, your comments, your suggestions. You are important to me. Now, on AmazingBlackHistory.com, we post every Thursday, and we try to do so without fail. During the month of February, we will post daily, and it will be in honor of Black History Month, History Month. During the month of March, we will post every day on Black Women. We sometimes lose one or the other due to intersectionalism in the equation, because many programs that are geared for blacks are not geared for women, especially not black women. And so the opportunity has not been fair. I want you to understand that. The only way that we can get ourselves out of this big hole is to acknowledge that a hole exists. That number again is 646-668-8217. I'm sure that there are some people out there that have questions, comments, suggestions, whatever, but are not familiar with being on the radio. We hope that we can guide you through that. We hope to be as open and honest as we can about your questions, your comments, your suggestions. When we look, many of us are driving around. I'm not driving around right now as I'm on the program. I do this from my home. But I do it because I feel a need to get the information out. And we're accessible around the world, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, Eastern, Western Hemisphere, all around the world. Don't feel that if you are of a different race that you can't call in. Misconcepts and the cloud of ignorance are what has us in the position that we're in now. And when I talk about people driving around, I want you to think Dorothy, I would draw a blank right at this point, but she was one of the instrumental founders of the GPS system. Dorothy West is her name, and she was instrumental in the first days of GPS. We improve it. We use it. It's up to date. I remember using a different program called Copilot, which was not interactive. It didn't tell you that there was a traffic jam ahead. But this is what happens. People start something. Other people improve it, make it better, make it more relevant. And this is the nature of life in America. It's the nature of life everywhere. We use these tools. There's another tool that I am very, very thankful of, and that was created by Dr. Patricia Bath, B-A-T-H. And she improved, extreme improvements in the area of cataract surgery. Cataract surgery. We have people that have had remarkable success with cataract surgery, but we don't pay any tribute to the person that made that possible, a black female. Come on now, people. You know you've had questions about this. You know you've had questions of even a negative nature because you have not been exposed to this. We bring our children up. We don't tell them what they can be and what they can't be. We just tell them that whatever the teacher tells you is right. Obviously, these are people that have never read Lies My Teacher Told Me. There's so many misrepresented facts in our history as to be laughable, except it's not a laughable issue. Many of you have had people tell you that they've done remarkable things, maybe in the military. Right now, I am ashamed of my hometown city, Spartanburg, South Carolina, because we had soldiers stationed at Camp Wadsworth. And Camp Wadsworth is out, a very prominent feature in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Yet and still, because of the misconcept of race, because we don't tell people what we have done, what we're capable of doing, they have a mistaken idea that we have done nothing. And we grow up with our children basically not being able to refute the idea because we don't know our history. One of the reasons that it was against the law to teach black people to read, write, or do numbers is because there has been no society that has been able to communicate what it's like to be them that has been viewed as second rate. Look at it. Tell you how evil your uncle was. It may be embarrassing, but it also hinders progress. It hinders progress because you don't realize what has happened. When we look at one of the most brilliant minds of the ages, we look at Malcolm Little, born Malcolm Little. He was an honor student all through school, through high school. And when asked what he wanted to do, he said he wanted to be a lawyer. The teacher basically laughed him out of the classroom. Although you are an honor roll student, you cannot be a lawyer, sir, because your skin is black. What the heck does the skin color have to do with what you can do? He was told that he should be a carpenter, and I'm not putting down carpenters one bit, because I worked my way through school as a bricklayer. I understand the value of a trade, because you can take that with you anywhere you go, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the border of Canada to the border of Mexico and beyond. You have a skill. You have something that is worth something. And we sometimes want to look down at these people. I remember a time when people were talking about nation time. And many of you may not understand the concept. But it was a concept similar to what Marcus Garvey had, and we will be posting on Marcus Garvey, because Marcus Garvey wanted to take all willing people from black America and take them back to Africa. But it was considered a ridiculous idea by whites who were depending upon blacks for labor. The value of the slaves in the South was worth more than all of the factories and railroads in the North. And many of those in the North were being fueled by slavery, New York seriously considered joining the Confederacy because so much of their wealth came from goods produced by slaves in this country. We don't talk about the fact that rice was one of the most important crops in the South, especially in South Carolina. And we made special trips to Africa to get people from Senegal and other places that knew how to do it. There was backbreaking work involved in setting up the fields. There was knowledge that had to accompany it. Came here. In fact, today, and I want to do a post on this. I want all of you to speak up. I want you to speak up. Because many of the terms that we hear in the Gullah and Geech speak are based on rules of language from Africa. That shows you how the fact that we learned and we carried on what we knew. You didn't want us to know. You didn't want us to be able to write down the stories of what it's like to be black. It was embarrassing to you. And that's why we don't want to study it today. That's why we are afraid of opening up the truth. What many of you are saying, whether you understand it or not, I would rather my child grow up in ignorance than to be embarrassed for 1 second. Yeah, it hurts me, but I'm willing to be hurt if I don't have to acknowledge that you did something worthwhile. I'm going to give that number again. I see my friend Marshall is on, but I want to give other people the opportunity to come in and express themselves. This is not an English class. I'm not going to chastise you because you split a verb or an infinitive or did some other thing with the language. That's not what we are about, folks. We're not about that. We are about speaking the truth and letting you know that black people, as were white people, as were people of all nationalities, created by God. And he didn't make a second team. He made a first team. And sometimes the humanity of man shows in allowing everybody accept the principles that are there. He didn't just say that I'm putting you here to be a servant to somebody else, no matter how brilliant you are. Have any of you ever listened to Neil deGrasse Tyson? He has not only a sense of humor, but a depth of knowledge that is outstanding. Yes, he's black. But yes, so are so many other people who have contributed to this country. When Dr. Barbara Ross, she wasn't a doctor at the time, Barbara Ross, and she later married Lee. They raised five children, and she later became head of a medical school and pushed for it. When she decided that she wanted to go into medicine, those people that were in charge that should be saying, this is what you need to do to become a doctor, should have said, this is it. They didn't even have to tell her how difficult the program was because she was determined to make it. She was determined to make it. But we've had so many people that have been turned around because somebody, not necessarily of ill will, but of ill education, not knowing the depth to which we have already succeeded. That's why we have hundreds of posts on AmazingBlackHistory.com that you should make yourself accessible to. One of those is Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, written by herself. At least that's the way it's listed. But that is Harriet Jacobs. Most people don't realize it. We know about Anne Frank. Anne Frank spent years in the attic of a home. So did Harriet Jacobs. To avoid being raped by her owner. Raped by her owner. These are things that we had to put up with. You've heard the joke where a farmer takes a cow or an animal in to be treated and finally says, well, when they tell you that I raped them, then don't believe them, or something of that nature. Being able to tell the story, and the story in language that everybody can understand, well, that type of embarrassment, that's what most people are afraid is going to happen, that you will see an ancestor, a direct ancestor, that did that. But because history has not given us the full story, you may just as well have a direct ancestor that fought slavery. We pass laws, and we think that laws are next to God-given, but they have not been the same. We passed laws like the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law that said, I don't care if you believe in slavery or not. If I tell you that's my slave, you better help me catch him and return him or her or the child to slavery, or else you have committed a crime. This is how we had books and movies like 12 Years a Slave. A man who had never been a slave was tricked and put into slavery for 12 years. We think that America is equal for all, but our court system said a black person cannot testify against a white in a court of law. Is that equality to you? If it is, I'm sorry, but it differs from mine. I think God created all of us. And as we look back on history, we see things that may be embarrassing, but they are not things that we need to endure. They are not things that our children need to endure, either black or white. And I include everybody when I say that. We make it look like 15 million people were lost, didn't know what was going on, until Columbus discovered America, or the Americas, because he never set foot in North America. Never set foot in North America. Yet we celebrate Columbus. But we don't celebrate people like Benjamin Banneker, who laid out the city of Washington, D.C. We don't celebrate people like Dr. Daniel Hale Williams, the first person to perform surgery on a human beating heart that was successful. And the person lived for decades afterwards. These are people that I think all Americans should be proud of. Let me give you that number one more time. And in 5 minutes, I'm going to open the mics. We will see what comments we have. We'll close the mics. We'll continue with the program, and we'll open them again later, as many times as necessary for you to get your comments through. Because I'm sure there are people wondering, where do you find this information? How do you know this information? Why don't I know this information? I had an uncle who said he did this. Is that at all possible? We look back at the Battle of the Bulge and the 761 Tank Battalion, Patton's Black Panthers, who basically won that war by the Battle of the Bulge. And they were treated so poorly in their training. And that is part of the reason they succeeded. We look at people like Dory Miller. Many blacks went to war because they were looking for a double victory. What do you mean, double victory? They were looking for victory over the enemy, and they were looking over victory over racism, that said, I don't care if you go over there and win that war single-handedly. When you get back over here, go to the back of the bus, dark-skinned person. I'm not going to fund your schools, dark-skinned person. I'm not going to do this. Why? I am in charge. I am superior to anything that you could ever come up with. And it's not always been the case, my friends. It has not always been the case. And we want to focus on that. We want to focus on what we have done and what is possible. As we do this, we'll open the microphone. My friend Marshall is, I see, is on. And I was at Marshall's home. No, we weren't at his home. We were at the city park in Welford, South Carolina, where there was a yard sale of black people. And I want to emphasize the importance of doing that. The site of that city park used to be Florence Chapel High School, Florence Chapel School. Good school. I knew the principal, Dr. Dave, I don't know if he was a doctor, but David Cureton. We go through and we destroy relic of black civilization because we take that school and we force the students out of that school into a white school. And the identity of the black school and all those people that worked in that school are no longer highlighted. So many times in your own community, you have heroes that should be celebrated. Henry Johnson, again, who was stationed in Spartanburg, South Carolina, now has a army base named after him. Fort Post is now Fort Henry Johnson. And that base is there because he won the Medal of Honor in World War I. There is a memorial to him. And those of you listening from Spartanburg or surrounding areas that have been to Spartanburg, I bet you passed it. Never know it. Because I know where it is. But you have to get there, and it is so obscure that you don't even know it's there. This is what happens so many times. Marshall, we had a great time yesterday. Any comments so far in the program?
Yes, Mr. Abercrombie, how are we doing today?
We're doing excellent today.
All right, all right. Yes, we have a pretty nice turnout, but excuse me, one of the most magnificent things that happened was when we were doing the yard sale yesterday was the people that came by not only to buy things but to donate to the cause. That meant more than you just buying something. A lot of people just buy things not necessarily because they needed them. They were just doing it just to help out. And then if there was any change or anything left, you know, just keep the change and let's put it towards the fund for the Florence Chapel Park, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise money and funds that we can, our Florence Chapel alumni can take over the park out there for the kids in the welfare favorite, so that they can have a park just like they do in Duncan and in Lima, where they have a real nice park. And then what we have out there in Wilford is like something you would go out in the country to the barnyard about what it looked like. That made us really feel good for the donation that the people give, you know, just to help out. That gives you a little more faith and a little more hope that for you to continue on doing what you do. Thank you.
Right. And one of the things I'd like to point out was that emphasized many of the schools that we did have when we did have schools were so physically inferior that they were almost unusable. When we talk about Barbara Rose Jones, who incidentally was the only case led by students of a walkout in schools that got folded into the Brown v. Board of Education, she wrote a book, and it's called The Tar Paper Schools, T-A-R-P-A-P-E-R Schools. And they talked about periods when they would take tests, they had to bring umbrellas into the school if it rained. Now, you're inside a building, and you have to open an umbrella to keep the rain from dropping on your paper, which is done in ink, to keep it from running. And that's what we call equal facilities. Who are we fooling? We're not fooling anybody. And that's why we need to talk about these subjects. My wife, who lives in Pecos County in North Carolina, when the schools were finally integrated, they went in with dumpsters, took all of the trophies, all the pictures, all the celebratory things that could come with a group of people and threw them away as if they were worthless. These are ideas that people had when they came together because they did not know our history. And this is why I'm so desperate to make sure that we know our history. November 7th at 7 p.m. in the Spartanburg Library on 151 Church Street, I'll be speaking about blacks in the military. Mark that on your calendar. Tell other people about it. Because I'm going to go all the way back to the American Revolutionary War. And there are many things in the story that we think that we know, that we think is full of value, that is not. We hear about Paul Revere riding, but it is a lie from Jump Street because there were many loyalists to Europe and the UK that you would have been captured if you had run through saying the British are coming. And yet and still, that's who we celebrate. We don't celebrate Sybil Ludington, 17-year-old white girl who also rode and did the same job. We don't talk about Wentworth Cheswell, who went to the North and was a very valuable asset, because what he did is the reinforcements that came down and saved our behind came from the North, which is where Wentworth Cheswell went. Has anybody heard of Wentworth Cheswell? He was a black judge at that time. That was a time when people had an opportunity to do things. But we have changed our system around so much that we don't want to give opportunity to anybody that deserves it. And that's what America should stand for. And that's why I want you to realize that and be aware of it. Now, we have a couple of other people online. If they have anything that they wish to say or questions to ask, now is the time. I don't want to give the full numbers, but both of these numbers are area code 864. One of them just dropped. I think we may be back to our original people at this point. Call in. Ask questions of me, Marshall, anybody else that you want to ask about, because this issue is so very important. Come out on the 7th of November and hear your history. Hear what we have done. Hear of people like Dory Miller. He stands 6'3" and weighed 200 pounds when he finished school. Now, he had difficulties in school, and we'll talk about that at a different time. But he shot down two enemy planes. The Navy only saw him as somebody that could serve the white people. Did not see him as a human being. Did not see his capabilities. And we certainly did not deserve to put that on other people. He lost his life in war because after the ship he was on sank, and he performed heroic work of getting the captain, of saving the captain's life. He went back to war. When we talk about the troops today that were put on bicycles in Missoula, Montana, and sent to St. Louis, Missouri, all black unit, they were so capable that when we broke out into the Spanish-American War, they were sent immediately there. And we don't know about this. We look at books called The Roughest Rider, in which we talk about black troops, but we are afraid to talk about it in front of high school students. Come on, give me a break. There is a bigger message there that we don't have. We have a person come back on. I don't know who you are, but if you have comments that you want to share with us, questions you want to ask, comments you want to make, now would be the time, my friend. Go ahead. You're perfectly welcome to join us. In fact, I want you to join us. I'm inviting you to join us. You don't have to worry about being embarrassed or anything else. This is a show dedicated to you. And I don't just mean black people. I like everybody else, because some of the greatest allies we have are of other races and ethnicities. So we don't want to shut anybody out, but we do want to acknowledge everybody. So if you've got questions, comments, suggestions, come on, let's hear about them. You may be able to stump me, but we'll look for an answer. Comments, questions, suggestions? I believe that phone number is an 864 number, and 439, if that's you, come on. Your question, comment, suggestion. I think that's Marshall, but I'm not sure.
Yes, this is me, Marshall.
Okay.
We're looking forward to coming and listening to you on the in November. I think it was the 7th.
Yes.
November the 7th. Yes, we're
looking. I believe in the Harley Room, which is upstairs.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, and we want to get it announced out to some of our churches, too, so that the people will be able to come and listen to some of the information that you're going to give us. Because once you give a message, something you've never heard before, because you mentioned to me yesterday about Diana Ross's sister. I didn't know Diana Ross even had a sister.
Yes, sir. We
know you've been doing some research, and we appreciate you.
Right. And yeah, I was surprised until I came across it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the mics. I'm going to go through a little bit more of Dr. Ross Lee's story, and I'll come right back, open the mics, see if we have any additional comments before we get to a close of the program. But at that point, I'll close these microphones and I'll go back to talking again on Dr. Ross Lee. Let me get to the right place here, folks. Okay, the Barbara Ross Lee is best known for being a black physician, an academic, and the first black woman to head a United States medical school. And we discussed this and other topics on Sunday, so I want you to understand that. And that number, in case you did not call in, I want you to write it down, because I look forward to your involvement each and every Sunday. And that number is 646-668-8217. Dr. Ross went to Wayne State University. which is a public research university in Detroit, Michigan. It is it's Michigan's third largest university. It was founded in 1868 as Wayne State, and it consists of 13 schools and colleges, offering at least 350 programs to nearly 24,000 graduate and undergraduate students. And Dr. Ross Lee was raised in a housing project. Now, sometimes we think that this is the lowest of the low, but it's not. Let me tell you how housing projects got started. We had job opportunities in different places, primarily in the South, in the North. And we had so many people, black, white, other ethnicities, flock in that we had to do something about housing. We built housing projects. But there, again, the government stepped in. And it wasn't just for Americans. If you had a housing project or intended to be involved in a housing project, it had to be for one race or another. It could not be mixed. The federal government would not support mixed housing. And so we have black people flooding into towns. And the best place they could find was housing project. There were white people that did the same, but they were placed in separate housing projects. Second, and so we end up with bastions of racial purity, if you want to call it that, based on the federal government guidelines. Now, she came from a housing project. Does not mean that everybody in that housing project is incapable of doing anything else, but it lumps everybody together. Now, there is a problem there because we find not only with humans but with animals that when you clump large populations together, you get problems. You get problems. And so these are sanctioned by the United States government. We look at men that went to war, and they were primarily men that went to war. And we take a state like Mississippi, and we were trying to get people into the middle classes of American society. Federal program, but it was run on a local level. So we look at white soldiers that got housing based on the housing allowances that were designated for American soldiers. Mississippi, 2,000 white people were able to take advantage of this program. 2,000. Now, I don't begrudge them one bit. What I do begrudge is the fact that only two blacks were able to take advantage of this. It was a federal program, but it was run on a local level. It was not fair. It was not even ground. And yet and still, if one black person benefits from something today, we lose our ever-loving minds. Lose it. We don't recognize the years when these people worked for free, when they could not own land, when land was taken by eminent domain. My parents' home, my entire neighborhood was displaced. And because of this redlining, they weren't able to get the value of their home anywhere else. But where else was there to go? Nowhere. We call that being fair? No, it is not fair. So we look at this. This is where Barbara Ross Lee came from. And she had studied at Wayne State in 1960 during the growth of the civil rights movement. And again, she wanted to go to medical school because of what she's been able to see. When we talk about Hazel Brown Johnson, the first black female general in the United States Army, What do we find? She wanted to be a nurse because she had seen a nurse serving people. They had white nurses serving black people. When we look at the story of William Cathay, it was really Cathay Williams, but she saw that in the American Civil War, that the white doctors didn't want to touch the black patients, and she could pull it off. She became the only documented female black Buffalo soldiers. Because even on something as important as medical care, we lost out. And then you wouldn't let us be our own. We would have done that willingly. And so we see prejudice at work. These people didn't know the person that they were denying any more than they knew an individual ant out of an ant colony. They didn't care. They were working in a cloud of ignorance, and that cloud of ignorance is still around. When we have high government officials saying there is nothing to be learned from your history, I'd tell them to take a long walk off of a short plank. There are probably some other things that I could say, but I'm trying to keep this a wholesome discussion because I want our children to know, not just black children. Everybody needs to know that we, above any other country, should be treating our citizens fairly. It's not what happened. And we see people denied the opportunity because somebody else said, oh, you can't do that. Not try this or not do this. We are telling people, no, you can't do this. You got to come clean my house. That's all you fit for. And this is what's taken place for centuries. This is why I had a reaction to that notice, that email today, that said that everybody had an equal chance. That is not an equal chance, my friends. And who are we losing from? Who's losing? When we talk about cataract surgery, I benefited from that. When we talk about Dr. Charles Drew, there are many people listening to me today that don't know they are benefiting from something discovered by a black man because he developed a blood bank. We were losing so many soldiers on the battlefield due to shock because we could not get their fluids replenished, their blood supply replenished, and he developed it. He developed it in concert with the American Red Cross. But he and the American Red Cross split ways because the American Red Cross said, we have to have two blood banks. There are white people that have been saved by black blood and vice versa. And I don't begrudge anybody for that system because it works. It's something that we could see. And so she graduated with a bachelor's degree in biology and chemistry in 1965 and joined the National Teachers Corps, a federal program in which you could earn a degree while teaching. Simultaneously in the department public school system. We don't look. We have so many people that could benefit from programs like that. Right now, we're having a shortage of teachers. Now, we have discipline problems in our schools, and they don't all come from one side of the tracks. I can guarantee you that because I spent time in those schools, and I've seen it. So don't blame everything on one person or one group of people. In 1969, she entered Michigan State University's School of Osteopathic Medicine and went on to open her own private family practice and taught as a professor while holding positions within the community. So we see a person that is involved in the community. Why would you want to turn this person away from all of that merely because of the color of their skin. And this may be happening to your children. It may be happening to children of your neighbors. It may be children that could benefit you. When we look at the research that Dr. Fuller was doing, benefited everybody in this country, because we are seeing outrageous outbreaks of Alzheimer's. Man was brilliant, but was not allowed the opportunity to continue his research because so many people did not want to give any credit to any black person. Well, we do it now, yeah, but what are we cutting off from ourselves? After graduating from medical school, she remained in Detroit. She worked at her private practice for 10 years, and she took a position with the United States Department of Health and Human Services, where she worked on medical education and people of color in medicine. Dr. Ross Lee was also a community representative on the governor's Minority Health Advisory Committee for the state of Michigan. Now we see programs come out about medical services being available. The last people to know about them, the last people to be able to take advantage of them, are often our people of color. Many of them don't have insurance. When we look at Social Security, Social Security is a great program. And we think that there is absolutely nothing racial about Social Security. But there is. When it was formed in the early days, there were two classifications of people not eligible for Social Security. Farm workers, of which most black people were steered into, and domestics, which most black people were forced into. This is why I say that the opportunity has not, but we haven't been able to take advantage of those opportunities. And that is bad. Now, Dr. Ross Lee became the first dean of a U.S. medical college. In 1993, she became the first African-American woman of the United States Medical School. She remained dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine of Ohio University until 2001. From 1993 to 2001. How many of you have heard of her? How many of you have heard of her but didn't really know what she had done? This is why we have this course. This is why we don't just talk about the successes of black people, because we'll have people that don't know the other side, the 360 of the story, and go along thinking that everybody had every opportunity that everybody else had. I would have loved to have gone to school in my hometown, but the opportunity was not available to me. So many other opportunities were not available to me at that time. Some have become open. We had Brown v. Board decision rendered in 1954. My school basically disappeared in, depending upon who you ask, 1968, 1970. And it was basically wiped off of the map because there were nothing of it remained. The name did not remain. Some people saved some trophies and photos. The school colors changed. A homecoming, in which time the entire community got together, disappeared. Everything was being done to wipe black history off the map, no matter what we had done. In Spartanburg, we had Dr. J.C. Bull, and he provided a lot of free services in this city. We don't honor him. Before that, we had Dr. T.K. Graves. We have a center, but I don't think people know who it's named after or what it does. for in near Spartanburg, I want you to take a look at this monument that I talked about to Henry Johnson. The only way that you're actually going to see that monument is to drive to Blackstock and Highway 29, which I think is a Warren Abernathy highway. You'll have to go into the Long John Silver's parking lot. Park as close as you can to Blackstock, the corner of Blackstock and Highway 29, Warren Abernathy Highway. There is a cut in the bushes that you can walk through. And among the trees is a monumental plaque to Henry Johnson. This is all that we can do for that man? He and Needham Roberts were on sentry duty, and they fought off 20 and as many as 30 German soldiers in hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-hand combat. And then we want to slap in the face of every black soldier, every black military person that's come along, and name our major military units after Confederate soldiers, soldiers who picked up arms against the United States of America? No, everybody didn't have the opportunity. Now, after leaving Heritage, she became a vice president of health services and medical affairs at the New York Institute of Technology. In 2002, she became dean of the New York College of Osteopathic Medicine. She continued to hold positions as the vice president of health services and affairs at the New York Institute of Technology, College of Osteopathic Medicine, during her deanship, and advocated for women and people of color in the medical field, as well as the great field of osteopathic medicine. Dr. Lee was dean of the School of Health Professions and College of Orthopedic Medicine. So we see a woman that pursued her dream, pursued a dream that people tried to dissuade her from even going in. Is that what America stands for? I don't think so. And if that doesn't generate in your mind any comments, don't be afraid. I thought I knew everything about black history because I knew what they had taught me in school. But they taught me nothing about a significant population. Could it have been embarrassing? Yes, to them and me both. And when I found out that I had been lied to for all these years, it was with great embarrassment that I learned it. Great embarrassment. I don't want to embarrass my children. I don't want to embarrass my grandchildren telling them about these things. I don't want your children to grow up and not know the greatness that is in this country. Have we made mistakes? Yes, we've made mistakes. But we do the adult thing. What is the adult thing? We talk about it. We resolve problems. And we do so knowing that this is the adult thing to do. Now, I've given you more insight into how our system operates. We're opening the microphones up to if anybody has any closing remarks, comments, suggestions. Let's hear from them now. I think Marshall's still with us, so we'll start there. Marshall, did you learn anything today?
Yes, sir, Mr. Abercrombie. Always learn a lot from you. Always learn a lot from you every week that I listen to you. You always comes up with more African Americans who did great things in America that we've never heard about. and you is a great asset to this community, regardless of what anybody say. I know this for a fact because you have opened doors for me. You have made me more aware of myself and even others from the truth. The truth, the Bible said that the truth will set us free. Now we have a chance to learn the truth, and some of us still don't even care, you know, even what the truth is. Some of us don't care. Thank you.
I appreciate it, sir, and I don't see any of the calls on. Now, I do want to remind people that the number to call in, because it is your show, is 646-668-8217. We come to you every Sunday. We bring you information. We look for questions that you may have. We look for comments that you may have. We look for your suggestions. I am thrilled whenever we have people willing to ask the questions, because I was so out of it until I stumbled across the fact that we had done more than pick cotton in this country, that somebody was intent on making sure that we did not know. Because if we know, we can do better. And that is what scares the hell out of them. They don't want to, and in many cases can't stand the competition. But a great nation, a great country, is built on competition and opportunity for all. It's been my pleasure to be with you. This is John C. Abercrombie. The program is Did You Know? We come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m. Put on your suit of courage, telephone number, join us. Let's all learn. Let's all move forward towards excellence in the United States of America. Thank you for listening, and be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
Love you, Brother Abercrombie.
I love you, too, more than you'll ever know. Thank you.
Yes. Bless.